News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm going to see that sunshine peek through the clouds a little bit. That's supposed to be what it's going to do today, right? Getting up to
85
degrees with sunshine today? Wow. Weekend a little bleaker, I guess you could say, but we're just glad to be here. I'll just put it like that. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. One of our three big things this morning, we'll talk about a number of things, including the Trump trial here as we go along the 8 o'clock hour. And you can direct this as well on the text line, 251-343-0106, or, of course, if you want to call and be part of the show. But is it just me, or was this Aldott sweeping in here, swooping in and saving the day, kind of, sort of, was that out of the blue or what?
Yeah.
I mean, to me it was.
I guess it was out of the blue, but it had been really quiet for some time after the lawsuit back and forth, and the state, they were planning on going ahead and building that intracoastal waterway about a mile west of where the Foley Beach toll bridge is, Baldwin County Beach toll bridge.
Last summer, I was under there. I was right there where they were building that bridge. And, of course, that bridge, the necessity for it was
the question.
Not in question, right? Mm-hmm. Some said we need it. Some said no. Now, if you missed it, the Foley Beach Express toll, that's going to go away. So they're going to pick up those little toll booths and move them to the side or whatever. That's going to be free. Mm-hmm. Now, eventually, the way it's going to work, although it was Senator Chris Elliott of Josephine said that the traffic pattern decision has not yet been made. But anyway, this is what it looks like it's going to be proposed here, that the Foley Beach Express going, toward the wharf and all, you have Ford lanes. That will eventually, when the second bridge is done,
which they're thinking spring or early summer 2026, they'll be done with the new intercoastal waterway.
And to that, I would say this, don't count on it, because it's just a project that seems to roll into overtime, right? So the eventual plan, though, is that they will work hand in hand. One will be northbound, leaving the island. That'll be the one near the wharf.
The one that's currently tolled.
Yeah. The current toll bridge will become, it's going to become free as soon as somewhere in May, where I think you're going to like that a lot if you head into a show or to the beach. And then eventually what it's going to be, according to this plan, not according to Chris Elliott, but it's going to be, that's northbound, that's leaving the island. Southbound, getting to the island, will be it's going to be State Road 161 is what they're going to call it now.
Yeah.
That's going to be that bridge. And let me see if I get any other details. Oh, they're also going to widen Canal Road to two lanes. It's going to be five lanes. And that's to take care of everybody getting on and getting
and
off.
And coming off.
At that spot.
Yeah, which means they're expecting, obviously, a lot more traffic to come that way. Especially, I think that'll start immediately. Once the tolls are lifted, you'll start to see a lot more people come straight on down.
Point.
Or maybe come down 59 and then cut across and take the toll bridge once those tolls are lifted. I think it's going to, I mean, it sounds like it will lessen traffic, especially once that new bridge is built. I mean, you'll have pretty much two ways on and off, right? You got 59, and then you'll have the new intercoastal waterway to get on and the toll bridge. There won't be a toll bridge to get off. So no matter how you cut it, traffic problems will be lessened in some form or fashion. I'm wondering how soon I can just start taking 59 again to get down to Gulf Shores. I mean, I know I could do that already, but if more and more people are going to go over to the Beach Express now, which it's already pretty heavy when you take the Foley Beach Express.
Yeah. But you think that no tolls may lessen 59 then?
59, and plus they're widening 59 and about to start phase two of that. So
here's my question, though, Dalton. Did they just back into this grand solution? Did they just run into it by accident, like finding $1,500 in your coat pocket?
I've never done that. $20 maybe I've found in my coat pocket. But, you know, Sean mentioned yesterday the price here, $60 million, seems like a pretty good deal for the state. And Pat was sending texts yesterday with some information about when that BCBC bridge was first built. It came at a cost of around $44 million, I think.
Okay.
And then you think
since
then... 20
years ago, right? Had to be.
Yeah, and since then, how much more have they invested in keeping up the roadway and, you know, fixing things that are starting to wear down? And then you have the toll revenue, which was bringing in more and more money, especially after they raised those tolls immediately after the lawsuit loss. So the city of Orange Beach gets a cut of those tolls as well. So Orange Beach is basically saying, and Tony Kennan more or less said, yeah, we would way rather have this be a toll-free route to get people on and off easier than to continue to collect whatever the cut was for Orange Beach in toll revenue. But $60 million, some of you have a lot more knowledge about bridge work, road work.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Sean yesterday, right?
Was that a steal?
He's calling out to the bridge people or the people, and I guess we're basically doing the same thing. I don't have the answer to that. It sounds like a good deal.
But I think this was bound to happen in some form or fashion once BCBC lost that fight to keep the state from building that new bridge. Because if BCBC had held on to the toll bridge, kept the tolls there, well, then you've got this new state route that will be free. And that was going to seriously dent their income. So it's pretty much you sell to us now or you fold later. That's kind of the way I was thinking.
Yeah, they were going to be folding. And so did that put BC, Baldwin County Bridge Company, negotiation-wise, in a bad spot?
Definitely.
So they're just kind of like, okay, all right. I mean, how long did they negotiate, or did, you know, did they start at 80 the state was at 40 and they worked their way to, I don't know. But it does feel like in the end, it seems like it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, for the state.
It does.
You wonder how the state went about the negotiations as well. Like, were they playing hardball? And you see when they accept bids for new projects, doesn't seem to be the case. They normally spend more than you would think they would need to for a new project. But for this, I'd love to know how those negotiations went behind the scenes. Your mom on the text line says the split traffic between the bridges is going to be a cluster, you know what, when there's a big concert at the wharf. Gardner says, explain directions again. The bridge at the wharf will go away from the wharf, and the other bridge will flow towards Intercoastal. Yeah, that's exactly right.
True.
That's the governor said in her statement. Now, State Senator Chris Elliott, who has disagreed with the governor a time or two, said that's not set in stone necessarily that that's the way that traffic will flow once the new bridge is up.
Here's a question, too, and I know it's somewhere in this story. The road leading to the new bridge is not a major thoroughfare, okay? The major thoroughfare, there's two of them, 59 and the Foley Beach Express. So the Foley Beach Express is leading to this, to the bridge, toll bridge, soon to not be a toll bridge, and soon to be northbound only.
Right.
Okay? So when you're connected to the Foley Beach Express, you're on a main highway there, whereas right now they're going to have... That needs to be a main road.
They were already. That's part of this deal, right?
161
build out the road that will connect to the Beach Express.
Right.
So there will be like a merging at some point on the Beach Express where you have northbound
181, maybe something like that. But yeah, so you know, it's got to be a main thoroughfare to lead you to that bridge before that bridge is able to operate. You know, in a normal function. But right now, that's not the case. So you got to build out that road.
Yeah, and again, that's not, according to their timeline, expected to be finished until 2026, earlier mid-2026, which means once these tolls come up next month, which is what they're predicting, they said the sale is expected to be closed by May, with tolls ending at noon on the closing date. So if that happens before Memorial Day... That'll be the first big action weekend where you'll see probably more cars on the, right now, Baldwin County Bridge Company's bridge than we've ever seen before, I would imagine.
I would like to look, one, two, whatever it is, four toll booths. I'd like to purchase a couple of them. I'd like to start tolling people around here. We can put a toll booth out right near Waffle House. Yeah, you want to come? You want to use our parking lot? It'll cost you.
Yeah.
So
what are we going to start the tolls at?
Probably
$5.
It started $1.50 something.
Okay.
But what do you do with used toll booths? And people are going to lose their jobs. By the way, I know that's a minor concern with something this massive. But
well, I've got good news for them.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of places along the beach that are hiring people who show up to work.
That's a good point. It's usually seniors in the toll booths.
And it's usually seasonal work where they're hiring with the beach season. Texter here. And it's hard for us, too, in this studio when we're talking about one bridge to not start talking about another bridge project that looks to be delayed indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
As Texter says, the vacationers from Mississippi and beyond will have a quick trip once they get across the Bayway. No one at ALDOT seems to want to help with. And that's part of this discussion, too, because the reason on this 60-day pause on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and the new Bayway project is because funding has gotten out of control. They don't think they can get the federal funding to get this done, and ALDOT apparently doesn't have it in the budget to build out the bridge that is the most necessary along the entire Gulf Coast.
And to get people in the area where they can then proceed to the beach.
So this is another $60 million, right, that is going towards, sure, this will be great once you get over to the beach or if you live over there. But that's $60 million that's going towards that and not going towards the building of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge.
It's like the body's disjointed. It's like we've got a terrible leg injury, but we're fixing the left hand here. How about if we looked at this whole thing? Because obviously the Bayway is more than a way to the beach. Jeff's called it out that's the way a lot of people categorize it, and that's why, that's so Mobile people can get to the beach. Like, well, obviously it's I-10. It's a big deal, right? But when you look at all this, you think, why wouldn't we, ALDOT and or whoever else would be the player in this game, let's come up with a comprehensive plan from the north to the south and get it all right. And they may be fixing what needs to be fixed down at the canal, and at the same time, they can't get the Bayway right at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, wouldn't that be part of a comprehensive look at what goes on along the Gulf Coast? No. Let's get traffic better in South Alabama. Okay. Where are you going to start? Probably the Bayway. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take care of down by the beach too. So they're taking care of down by the beach, it appears. But the Bayway remains a large black and white pipe dream, or the cartoon bridge, as I call it, because you see those cartoons.
All the drawings.
Yeah.
And, Tony Kennan would probably disagree. He's probably pretty excited that this is happening as more and more people will be able to get to Orange Beach more quickly. I'd love to see what Robert Kraft thinks of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure one way or the other what he thinks, the mayor of Gulf Shores. As Texter says, it sounds great initially, but that will be a huge bottleneck of traffic once those tolls are lifted. I'll definitely be avoiding BCBC just to do the 59 thing myself. And I'm thinking that's probably what I'm going to do, too, is back to 59, just like the old days, as I head south.
59's going to be the winner in all this, you think?
I think so, yeah.
It's 8:20, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Happy to get your opinions on all this, because we all go down to the beach, know what's going on. How's this traffic going to work out here eventually with the north-south routes for the different highways coming in and out? 8:21 on Mobile Mornings. Getting to the beach is going to be a little quicker and more efficient here in a few years. With the news, we got ALDOT buying the toll bridge, and you're reacting to it on the website as well, on our text line, I should say. Morning, fellas. We're all excited at in Gulf Shores about the announcement. They're happy about that. And so tired of paying. You know, think about those people just doing a quick commute, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were paying through the nose here the last few months when once they
raised those rates.
Yeah, I guess last summer.
This texter says that Fob James Bridge is probably so old that it's due for some heavy-duty maintenance. With the state's track record, they're probably inheriting a money pit. Oh, don't say that. Oh, no. That would that would be the worst, wouldn't it? But on brand, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You said it's – how old is this bridge? Around I don't know if it's around 20 years old or something like that.
I think it's 20 – but let's say it was built in 2000. That's just a guess. But late 90s, early 2000s. And you're right, though. I mean, there's a lot of traffic. And that probably maintenance, if it hasn't been kept up, maintenance would be needed.
Mm-hmm. John says the Mississippi tourists would also need to get past Alabama's cheap-ass Highway 45 section. Yeah, there's some roads that need fixing for sure.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
This texter, I don't know if this has already been said, but if they would toll it until the $60 million was paid back towards the cost, then maybe they will stop trying to come up with more ways to tax us and create fees. Now, that's a pipe dream. The government to quit coming up with ways to tax us? No, they're gonna do that forever and find a way to tax. But they are saying tolls will be lifted as soon as this deal closes. Gardner says, I believe Ivy stood to make some sort of kickback from tolls on the new bridge so that when that didn't happen, she went scorched earth on bridge company and decided to make sure it doesn't happen. So were they going to toll the new Intercoastal Waterway Bridge? I don't know if they were or not. I don't think so. I don't think that was part of the plan.
I don't think so. At this point, it's I just remember that was not everybody agreed with the construction of that bridge in the first place. It was Kraft for it, Kennan against it, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And so it was being built, and I just remember being at the site of it last summer in a boat, just looking up, thinking, well, there it is. There it is. You know, the bridge that a lot of people don't even think needs to be built at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to play a major role if this north-south idea, you know, actually happens in a few years, and,
yeah,
and they've got the road to support it going in and out.
And then what other businesses kind of spring up around those, you know, thoroughfares, mm-hmm, that aren't already there. And there's pretty good land there on Canal Road where they're planning on widening that, but there's homes along that too. I wonder how that whole, they use eminent domain, or what are they going to do to widen Canal Road there?
It's always amazing when you see roads get widened and you're looking at it before the widening, you're thinking, where, how?
And right? There's only really one way to widen it,
yeah,
there
you can't
on Canal.
Widen it. Careful of the cliff in the water.
Yeah.
That's to the north. That's the most treacherous. I mean, even out at on Ziegler, out by Municipal Park and all the homes as you go from the park further out to the fairgrounds. You know, there just seem to be I don't know how they're going to pull this off here with these homes and with the park and mm-hmm, and they sneak it in there. It works.
They do. Martin says, so now I'll go over the bridge if it's free. I worked in Orange Beach for over a decade and refused to pay the toll. And also the big winners in this, you mentioned 59. How about the people that work and have to navigate 59? During the summer and parts of the spring. That should get easier for them, too, if more people are taking the new route.
Now, tell me what's going on 59 right now. It's being widened.
They're widening
right
it.
Now.
So, yeah, they're wrapping up phase one of the widening process.
Where's it going on?
Oh, basically south of the bridge there.
Okay.
I don't know how far along they... I mean, it's been a couple months since I've been down there, so maybe some of y'all can help. But phase two, I believe, is supposed to take you down to Target. They're widening it, I think a couple lanes on each... one lane on each side, so they're widening it, what is it, to six lanes, I guess they're going to be there?
Probably that's what they're after, right.
That'll make things easier as well, and then you take more traffic off of 59 at the same time, and things should get easier through there. Do want to remind folks, voting time has not begun yet. That'll start May 1st at noon, but want to thank everyone who nominated your favorite shows and hosts on FM Talk 106.5 for this year's 2024 Nappies. FM Talk 106.5 up again for your favorite radio station. Dan and I for best DJ team, also best morning show. Four of us are in the best talk radio host category. Then you have Feinbaum for best sports show. We have absolutely dominated the best lifestyle radio show with five of the six in that category, FM Talk 106.5, and then a couple for best radio personality as well. Thank y'all for the nominations.
VoteNappies.com, right?
That's right, starting May 1st. Thank you, Kane. 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. And I'm hoping I can get over to the lot at McConnell at some point this weekend and check out some of those new rides you got. You know, you always have me with the AT4, but all kinds of different types of rides for whatever people need.
That's right. First off, I want to put a shout-out to Dropout Bakery, Will and Lacey. Gave us some cinnamon rolls this morning, and I gave them all the dealership. I'm trying to walk around here, trying to walk that stuff off. Man, if anybody's ever been down there, that is a great place. But, yes, we got the Highline cars here. We got all the Highlines from Nashville in last night. Corvette, the Cayman, Porsche. We got an S8 Audi. Got an LS500 Lexus with 1,200 miles on it, and got a QX80 Infiniti. But we've got plenty of stuff. You can check that stuff online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got great deals with GM certified. New car side, we got a $10,000 on the remaining 23 pickup trucks we got. So it looks like it's going to be a decent weekend. We'll be here all weekend, so come by and see us.
Yeah, and, you know, many of us, Louie, have been through that process of trying to sell our own vehicle. Nowadays, folks try to do it on Marketplace or wherever it may be, but I've done that, and I know for a fact it's much easier to get you guys on the line and have you buy that vehicle.
That's right. We, like I said, we're buying stuff all over the place now, so we're going to stock this lot, so y'all come by and help us out and buy a car from us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You were listening to Louie kind of off script there before we went on.
Yeah.
You've been handing out the donuts.
Let's get a couple more texts here on the bridge thing before we get into the Trump trial, plus audio from a juror who dismissed herself. Highway work in Gulf Shores on 59 is just south of the bridge to around Rouses and Fort Morgan Road. But there's also some kind of work going on just north of the bridge on the west side. Okay. I think when that's all said and done, and I guess it could be a headache, or maybe it's already been a headache, as you have a lot of people going down to the beach for spring break and as it stretches into the summer. But once that's done, that's going to be, I think, a major, major assist to the folks who live around there. This texter thinks they ought to do it the other way once they build this intercoastal waterway. So they need the Foley Beach Express to be southbound. So they want to keep that toll bridge southbound with no tolls.
Yeah.
Because it's a straight shot from I-10. They said they should then redirect northbound via signage from all around the beach. And you know, I'm no traffic engineer, but maybe that would be the better way to do it. And even though Ivy came out and said it was going to be one way rather than the other, I think State Senator Elliott saying, now,
hang on,
let's hold on and make sure that we're doing this the right way. That sounds to be...
Well, we'll find out because he's generally a guest on Jeff's show on Fridays.
That's right. So we'll likely hear from State Senator Chris Elliott later today. Jason says, just to add to the highway discussion, 98 at the Mississippi line has reopened. And this texter, Gulf Shores commute will be lovely when it's all said and done until you get to the Bayway or the tunnel. The priorities are kind of messed up.
Yeah, it's kind of screwy. I mean, if you just looked at South Alabama and considered the beach and you considered I-10 and Mobile and Baldwin County, the role the Bayway plays in all of it. And I know it's a matter of cost, but it's like if we're going, you know, the patient's having a heart attack at the Bayway and they have a broken ankle down at the beach and we're taking care of the broken ankle, but the heart attack is... years from being settled, I guess.
And I do know, man, now that they're putting up some more of these freestanding emergency departments closer to the beach and in different areas around South Baldwin County, there was one time my wife, when she was very pregnant, we had a little bit of a scare, and we were down at Gulf Shores.
Yeah.
And that's a heck of a drive. Driving north, it took us a good 20, 25 minutes to get where we needed to go. Mm. It's not the case anymore, thankfully, as they have a freestanding there. Where they can get you looked at. But even, like you said, easing traffic, it's not just about, oh, I'm tired of waiting here. Whether you're talking about the Bayway or the new bridge or what's going on in Baldwin County, very often it can be life-saving to make it easier for people to get on and off and move around.
Boy, that's a chilling thought, but you are absolutely right about that. the Trump thing, here we go. I guess the trial could begin Monday. Is that what they're thinking at this point?
That's the plan, according to, I think it's Judge Merchan, who said that they want to get opening statements begun on Monday, or maybe it was the DA, Alvin Bragg, who said that. But we went from yesterday morning, okay, we've got seven jurors selected, and there was already all the talk going around about who those seven jurors are, what they – I've never seen so much, and maybe during the OJ trial it was like this. Maybe – I don't even think during the Rittenhouse trial there was as much discussion about who the jurors are and where their political slant may lie.
Yep.
But with this one, everyone is trying to break down every little part of this case that comes out. So you start with seven jurors yesterday morning. One backs out on her own, an oncology nurse at Memorial Sloan Kettering. And I believe she's the one. So they put out just enough information about these jurors. And, you know, they're all from that area thereabouts. Not initially. It seems like most of them come from places like, you know, Porter, like they've moved there from somewhere else.
Right. Which, now they're Manhattan citizens.
So the judge got on to the media because he said they made it a little too easy to identify who one of these jurors was.
Okay.
And he's thinking that she got a little bit of gruff maybe from friends or family, or they just recognized who she was. And remember, being a member of this jury, which I think it would be a patriotic thing if you are an objective person, and maybe you think this whole thing is a farce. I think it would be patriotic to make your way onto that jury regardless, but the pressure these people are going to feel from the left and from the right as well, it's something else, right? So she let herself out. She said she couldn't be fair and unbiased. And then also a 40-year-old Puerto Rican man who was previously juror number four. Prosecutors suggested he may have lied about whether he'd previously been arrested. If this is the same guy, then this guy, not only was he previously arrested, but arrested for tearing down conservative political signage.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I think his wife is pretty heavily involved in the politics of the left as well. So good riddance to that one, right? But it's not...
That's funny that that was his crime.
It is. Of all
all
the
crimes.
People who snuck through this guy who was clearly biased, right? And jurors have lied before, and they've said that there was... Even the four-person, four-woman, I guess, on the Roger Stone trial lied about her political leanings. And she said she didn't really care one way or the other about politics, but then they go back and look at her Twitter feed, her social media, and she was just blasting Trump for years. And she ended up becoming the lead juror in the Robert Stone trial. And of course, he's sitting in jail. Well, is he in jail right now? I know he got some time.
I think he is. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen him around the block.
So people are trying to break down who these jurors are. And I've got a great write-up that I'll pull here in a second. But I did want to play this audio from the initial juror yesterday who had made it on and then excused herself from the jury. And she sounds like, you know, her priorities are in the right place. Some people are trying to say, oh, she was obviously a Trump supporter and that's why they couldn't have her on the jury, because she may have ruined the plans for this Trump trial for him to be convicted. I'm not really reading into it the same way. If you listen to part of her interview with MSNBC, I don't think she's necessarily anti-Trump, but I don't think she sounded too pro-Trump either. What she sounded like to me was an objective juror, and now she's no longer a juror. Here was MSNBC talking with, I guess this is the one who was the nurse, oncology nurse at Sloan Kettering, who said she could not be unbiased.
Okay.
Yeah, here she is.
I do. This is Kat. She runs a VC fund here in Manhattan for folks that are open.
This was a different one.
Okay.
This was a dismissed juror here. This is separate from the oncology nurse who said she couldn't be unbiased.
Over 60 years of age. She was just dismissed as a potential juror. What happened? Why were you dismissed?
Because I couldn't be impartial.
You couldn't be impartial. So when the judge asked that hand, can you be impartial, you raised your hand and you said you cannot.
Exactly.
Wow. When did you first come?
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday. And at that point, When did you realize that this was a trial involving the ex-president of the United States, Donald Trump?
So we were here on Tuesday from 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But we realized that it's about this case on 4 p.m. We went into the courtroom and we saw Donald Trump.
You went into the courtroom at 4 p.m. on Tuesday,
exactly.
And you see Donald Trump.
Yeah, we didn't know before that.
What was your first thought?
I was shocked. I was sitting on the second row, like 6 feet away. And when I realized that Trump is there, I was like, oh, wow. I couldn't believe it.
What about the people around you?
Everybody was shocked. Everybody was frozen. Frozen, no expressions, nothing. We were all, you know.
Did he look back at you? Did any of the attorneys look back at you at that time?
Sometimes Trump would turn his head.
Yeah.
But that was it, yeah. He didn't stand up or anything.
Were you following the case before this?
I didn't really. I'm too busy.
You're too busy, but you knew he was on trial, or you knew he was going to trial.
I knew, yeah, it's just the headlines, but yeah, too busy to read the details.
Have you ever served as a juror before?
No, that's my first time because I just became a citizen in August.
Yeah.
And that was my first call. And that
so
was,
you just became a citizen of the United States, so that means you've never voted in a presidential election.
Exactly.
You're called to be a juror. And this is the jury that you are called to.
Yes.
What was that? Is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
I know.
What was your impression of Donald Trump when you saw him?
You know, he looked less orange, definitely, like more yellowish, yellow. Nothing else than that. He looks, he doesn't look angry, or I think he looks bored. Like he wants this to finish and go do his stuff. That's how
Did you have any discussions with other jurors when you left the room about kind of how huge this case was?
Yes.
How historic it was going to be?
Yeah, everybody.
What were they saying? What were you guys talking about?
About this. It's a historical case, and, you know, this is going to define so many things. But at the same time, our job as a juror, right, is to be impartial, like to be unbiased. So weird, like the whole atmosphere, like, you know, such an important.
It's just part of it there, but I don't see how anyone, if they're saying they don't have an opinion on this one way or the other, first off, how that's possible. There you go. So they've got now, they did it quickly yesterday. Once you had the two drop off, they got the seven other jurors, I think they said within 15 minutes, selected, and then one alternate juror. So today they're going to try to pick five more alternate jurors and then get those opening statements kicked off on Monday.
That was on MSNBC?
Yeah, that was on MSNBC.
So just considering the questioning, what was she trying to get at there? I mean, what, you know, did Trump look back at you? It just seemed like she was digging for something. I don't know exactly what, but mm-hmm. what did you make of the interview itself?
I thought she asked some decent questions, honestly. I don't, maybe she was trying to get to a certain point, but just to kind of see what things looked like in there and how, like, I thought that it was interesting. She said Trump just kind of looked bored, like he's ready for this thing to end.
I thought that was pretty, that was, that's not what I was expecting. She said he didn't seem menacing or anything like that. He was just bored.
And
like,
that's,
I got better things to do. That's almost what he's saying.
And it's kind of what it sounds like he's saying when he comes out from the courtroom and talks with the media. He's like, this is all a farce.
Yeah.
And it's a waste of my time with the elections coming up.
Also, there was something I heard about the questioning of jurors in a case like this, that it's not really a high level case. Therefore, they sort out the potential jury members quicker, like 10 questions. And that's it.
Because the charges aren't high level. Because, I mean, this is the biggest criminal case in a long time.
Yeah, the charges are not high level, which tells you something. And then it's like, so they are able to, you know, whittle down to get jurors in the box sooner than normal.
But this has got to be a hell of a work week for the Trump defense team, because they're having to dig in as much as they can on each one of these jurors to see if they lied about their political leanings or how much they dislike the former president. And one of the questions they did ask I think, is it fair to say you can tell a lot about someone politically by what, how they get their news?
No doubt about that. And that's why I was even talking about MSNBC, mm-hmm. you know, the way she was questioning her, what she was after. So, yeah, how they get their news. And for sure. And I think I know where you're going with this.
Well, you see, one of the questions they asked was where they get their news. And what I noticed, instead of just going through each of these jurors, a lot of people that are either single or married, but with no children,
mm-hmm.
All of them, for the most part, read the New York Times. That's their paper they read, except for a few said the New York Post, maybe one or two said they don't read the Times at all. The jury foreman, seated first, lives in West Harlem, originally from Ireland, and he gets New York Times, the Daily Mail, some Fox News, and MSNBC. There's a couple on here who just get their news from CNN,
mm-hmm.
which would probably tell you how they're likely to rule on this thing unless they're able to truly be non-partial.
Take a shower.
And then what's also, according to people who know this kind of thing, there's two lawyers who were seated on the jury, which is very uncommon to have a lawyer on a jury, much less two. One practices civil litigation and says he gets his news from the Times, the Wall Street Journal, New York Post, and Washington Post. He admitted to having political views as to the Trump presidency, but said he didn't pass any judgment on Trump's character. And there's a another one who I believe is a she a corporate lawyer. But what they're saying is with the Trump team, they may be, with a couple lawyers being seated on the jury, be a little bit more technical in their defense about how some of these charges, rather than playing the emotions and the drama.
The lawyers will understand the facts.
That's kind of what I've been seeing.
That's interesting. And so, wow. If it starts Monday, I guess it'll be live TV. Right.
I don't know. Will there be live streaming cameras in the courtroom, especially for the verdict in about 6 to 8 weeks? You can expect that. How many people are going to be tuned in for that?
It is 8:51. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8:56. Good to have you along. Jeff Porcio's on the way, and he does have former councilwoman Bess Rich as not his first guest, but that'll be in the right after 10 o'clock.
And I'm sure she's been active online.
She has been active with this, with her opinions on the Chief Prine and Stimson administration squabble. So that should be something to look forward to. And at the end of the day, you've got Chris Elliott there, and he'll have some bridge talk from down South Baldwin way.
I'm sure a little bridge talk, and also he's going to discuss everything that's going on in Montgomery with the legislative session. Texter here says, how can it be a deal to spend $60 million on one bridge, plus build and pay for another bridge, plus money for right-of-way, when the Baldwin Bridge Company offered to build two more lanes on the bridge and free tolls for everybody in Baldwin County? You still are only adding two lanes over the canal for an unknown cost. It's all to help developers in Gulf Shores. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. We're looking at this as one deal. Like, hey, we just bought this bridge, but everything else involved here as well, that cost starts to add up,
mm-hmm.
For sure. Grant says...
Grant had a lot to say.
He has, and I love it, though. And Grant says, this is so funny. They're giving Trump so much free press for his campaign. These people on the left aren't real politically savvy these days. It's the economy, stupid. I wouldn't be too quick to say that the left isn't politically savvy, Grant. We've seen some tricks played. We've seen things work in their favor plenty of times previously, recently.
They could be missing on this, though, a little bit, with all these charges against Trump. I mean, the Republican side is calling out this two-tiered system, and they're proving it right before. Now, if there's a conviction, we got another story, right? We have that's a big problem for Trump.
Yeah. Martin says, has anyone ever mentioned that prostitution is illegal and that Stormy Daniels should be prosecuted more so than Trump? He's the victim, in my opinion. Now, while there was the hush money payments, Trump is saying the affair never happened, mm-hmm. and that this was just to kind of settle things going into the 2016 election, where they felt that that would be harmful to the campaign. And besides, he said he wasn't the one who did it. It was the Cohen, mm-hmm. Cohen, who's going to be the star witness, right, for this trial, yeah. who has lied plenty of times in the past and served time on his own.
Fresh out of jail.
Fresh out.
It's 8:59 FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porcheau straight ahead. Dan and Dalton back with you Monday morning beginning at 6 o'clock.